This meeting is now being recorded.
I be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now I hope you'll follow what I mean to say. In the outside world, we need some teacher. We are respectful to them, whatever we learn at their feet. But all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or interest. And in a subject which starts, the ABC of which starts when you rise above body consciousness, when the world flashes with end, their religion starts, remains back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self, we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot. We are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion. Who can withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise you up, you see I am not the body. Know thyself means, by self-analysis you know you are the driving force of all this factory of the man body. Then you see the over self which is controlling you. So such like, this is definition generally given by all masters. They never say, I am God. They say, we are the messenger. We have been sent by God to guide you back to your home. That's all. If anybody says, what 10th Guru said, if any of you do call me God, you go to hell. You see, that is only to stop this misconception prevailing in the world. Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother, elder, as your teacher. You follow my instruction. When you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything. So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I've got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, pray. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slave. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are leaving, we call, where my son, where my mother, where that, where that. And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I'm going to my father. You see, all masters say, Guru Amar Das says, now I am going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jamsi said the same thing. Our master used to say, some months before, well, I am leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, oh God, give us the feet of such a personality with the mouth of someone. And he said, how long? That I should like to die at his feet. This is a very biggest prayer, you see. I mean, prayer. Of all the prayers that we have, And he says, why I have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you said, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on his father gave out the Ramanuj that we are still a cover over that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was a preacher like that and ultimately became to be a lover of a Rama. God is connecting power. So as I told you yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, they are symbols of light are found out there. Which is better? They are symbols only to show that such like models, that such a like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks who is the better, and he is better at it too. Of all these, in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things you have found just for teaching the people that such like the sound is there, such like light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says Shankar, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the I see the Bhakti Yoga, head of the Bhakti Yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he took to the Bhakti Yoga. And last of all, he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of Mother. Mother enveloped all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where Mother was not. He came to his Guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into quantity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen into oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God has been Bhakti Yoga. And also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is God made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that. And one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Mala Room gave out, if you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called masters, excuse me. For 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palace. So Guru Ram Das said, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet, because even the most learned people, the most Bhakti Yoga heads and others all crave for the, what is presence or the guidance or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who are world made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimages. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there, that is called, that place is the place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere, which are called now as Nankana Sahib. He sat on the feet of some tree, which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, that is called as, by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the what the places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, oh God, I have a doubt in me, tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of pilgrimage? You have to say the word made flesh, wherever it says, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek. If you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. See for yourself what is what. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one Saint Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of the time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people had gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? The worldly position, sometimes the wealth, sometimes high education, stands our way. Oh, I know so much, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening time many people go around. In old days, people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, all at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth and anything. He has come, all right, I will give him such a thing he will remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin in the cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my lord, what will happen if I must just drink that water which is washing up the skin? You see, the predominantly, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water and let it go to the shirt. He ran back, oh God, I'm saved. I was otherwise fired. When he came home, he called for the washerman and he could wash this cloth. That was some stain of the skin, of the water of the skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just, with the tongue, clean it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It is a little attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at work, then that works wonder. So, why should man Gautam became to be known as a saint? People began to gather together at our feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my Vaishnava man is a saint, people are loving her, let me go to her and visit her. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. Went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the Vaishnava man stood up with his head. And the people came inside, told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the, on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If the child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, and now, does not nature make arrangements for world and the mother before it's born? Don't you think those who come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Of course, they say, the grace of God, something is working, then all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ram Das gives, wherever you hear such like master, you go to His feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learnedness you've got. To go is better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under it, tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it's that place above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. Just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that in manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit laden tree, the branch of it laden with fruit that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? We are business like, you see. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had there. He came up, Lord, how can, we are old ones, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody respects you. Don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth called. In Amagi, it is called twice born. You see? This is what they give. That's only had at the feet of the master. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He said, by having a rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depths of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up. And open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moral room referred to it as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves. How to come out of the body? He says, just break the roof, open the hole into the roof and go up. So in man body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outer faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outgoing faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, music of the spheres, which will lead you where? That will lead you where, from where that emanated. Okay, God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, when you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker of divine plan, that power is working, it is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives it, what is it, decisions according to our actions, done while a doer. But those who become conscious co-worker of divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are watchers. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that wheel. Because you become conscious, you are no more dual of the racing. So, such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such master come, what they do? They all right, have the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you out there. He does not say I am God, he said I am messenger. Just you see there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns fire, somewhere it gives you eyes clean. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time. And the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different. And others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back souls back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There's a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allows some money. And the prisoners begin to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount and the prisoners begin to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they've got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, made some money, and they begin to have good ventilated house. All three people went out there. Their sympathy was for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, and good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door, of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out, each one. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, called by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has controlled all his outgoing faculties. He takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much, I've engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcendence to be done. So he can work both ways, here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, and then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are world made flesh, mind that. That world has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special light in some. They come, that's all of it, within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. If we draw all our attention from outside and gives it something to start with, some capital to start with. It not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. The bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Gives you some capital to start with of light and sound. By regular practice. They do own, you see. Tarin Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working the world. Under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has its past and every sinner's future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who bought man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our souls from all outward enjoyment, gives a higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy world is like unto my feet. Take heed that the light which in you is not darkness. With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master come, you know when the Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetops. These things are now being given out openly as platforms. This is the basic teachings of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own self, well and good, what more is wanted? But if he cannot, if somebody comes there, then God sends him. Your prayer is true. God makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to demonstration of rising of our body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here is the way. God wants each one of you to come back to his home. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give your contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to absolute Lord. So all outer religions, the labels of which we are carrying, they have these very basic teachings in the scriptures. For want of practical people, we have forgotten. This is what I am putting before you. It is no new thing. It is already given in the books, in the scriptures. I have written one book, Naam or Word, from all scriptures.
Yes, I have an
understanding. Social body now exists in the world. It is simply such a true living and higher consciousness. Is what a social body, the labels of which you are carrying, remain their first step. Have true living, and somebody there, if you can have your own self contact, that power which is within you, when will you know about it? When your attention will turn from all outside and from the body below, then your inner eye or single eye will open, you see it in them. If you can do, have your own self well and good, do it. If not, we cannot do it generally, because we are already identified with the outgoing faculties, intellect, body, the world. They have forgotten ourselves, and all practices, what we use for meeting God, relate to the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. How can you rise above them? So someone is needed to raise you up, give you a demonstration of it, give you something, some capital to start with, of the light and sound within you, and then 12 further, there the ABC starts. That's not the end all, the be all. We have got many mentions in the house of our Father. Macrocosm in the microcosm. This is what we gathered from the Masters, you see. And this is what is meant by the word Master or Guru in the terminology of the saints, not in the sense as we use generally. We have respect for all those at whose feet you have learnt all these subjects which relate to the outgoing faculties or intellect. But we do need somebody who has access into the vijayam, who can give us a demonstration of that how to rise above body consciousness, and we bear testimony what the Master says. Really, that is so. The company of such masters is called the true satsang. Not those of intellectuals, but those who have been to the beyond and gives us something of the beyond. In his company, we will truly learn what the scriptures say, because they have seen those. The words of those masters who saw and then gave out, which form part of our scriptures. If you want true interpretation of those, we need somebody who has seen, has been there. So yesterday morning, you see, I gave you what is meditation. Last night, I gave you what is called really spirituality. It is not bearing the outer forms and rules of the labels of the religions. It is something to know how to know yourself, and to know the over self, which is controlling us in the body by self-analysis, and enable you to transcendently beyond and traverse there. That needs somebody to guide you. Call it very name the light. Today I will give you see what you will learn at their feet. what is really called a master or a guru, and we confound him with the outer forms of the world. Again, I would submit we have respect for all these at whose feet we have learned something. But this all thing gives you science or the knowledge of the world which is exotic.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. Before we start, just a reminder, if you need to increase the volume, press star 4 repeatedly or star 7 repeatedly to decrease the volume. If that isn't enough, you may want to consider a speakerphone that has volume controls. Okay, this morning our reader is Christine Clevenger. Are you there, Christine?
Yes. I'm here, John.
Okay, carry on.
All right. So, good morning to all of Master's children. I had chosen a specific talk to read, and then this beautiful talk arrived in the mail to everyone's home, and so I'm going to read this instead. And it is called Sail on the Satguru's Ship. Trying to see if it gives the exact. It does say it was published in the November 1971 issue of Sat Sandesh. There is a hymn of Guru Nanak in which he presents a vivid picture of the world drifting into illusion and oblivion, and how the individual can be rescued from this drastic plight if he so desires. Guru Nanak says, "The ship laden with poison, or Maya, has been drifting on the limitless ocean. On no side can the shore be seen." He describes the world as a huge ocean without beginning or end. Cosmogonists have made numerous statements regarding when and how it was created, but no definite information has ever been established. Some say it was created 4 million years ago, but that only goes back to the last dissolution. There were many other dissolutions and grand dissolutions before that, so who can say when creation started? So Guru Nanak describes it as a vast, dangerous ocean containing mighty breakers and treacherous whirlpools. And what is the cargo of the ships that sail in this ocean? Poison. And every ship overladen with it. One can picture each physical form as a ship or a boat drifting aimlessly on the vast ocean of life, laden with the poison of Maya. Maya, or illusion, is just another name for forgetfulness, and the cause of all our illusion is the body. We should have been the controller of our whole being, but instead we became the body, so much so that we now cannot differentiate between the body and its controller. Are we the house or the indweller of the house? But although we may rarely think of it, there will come a day when we have to leave the house. Even when we take a body to the cremation ground and perhaps light the fire with our own hands, yet we do not stop to think that the same event will happen to us one day. While drifting on the ocean of life, overcome with illusion and forgetfulness, attachments develop. When the indweller is identified with the body, so much so that he forgets himself and considers himself as a part of the world itself, it is but a natural sequence of events that many attachments develop. Birth upon birth, he tosses about in the storms of life. Sometimes the soul goes under. Sometimes it rises to the surface, but it can see no end to this existence. Just consider, one knows nothing of the past or of what will happen in the future. One is just going wherever the current carries one. The ocean of mind contains limitless waves upon waves. Sometimes they are waves of enjoyment, sometimes of anger or lust, of greed, attachment, and ego. And who can see this true condition of affairs? Only he who stands on the edge, for he who is drifting is not conscious of what is happening, has no awareness of what is to come. Learned or illiterate, rich or poor, cultured or uncouth, yet all are in the same position. How to get out of that condition will be revealed as the hymn proceeds. It is not a question of caste, creed, or color. It simply concerns all souls who are embodied in the physical form. Man is pushed from pillar to post. You can see for yourself that if a wave of enjoyment comes along, we quickly fall into it. We are steeped in anger, jealousy, backbiting, all kinds of viciousness and prejudice, and indulgence in the condemnation of others. We are drenched in whatever color that comes along, dancing to the tune of the moment, saturated in forgetfulness. God is forgotten. Self is forgotten. We just drift along aimlessly. There is no compass or pilot on our ship, and the ocean is wild and terrifying. This condition is terrifying, like the danger from a huge hooded black cobra. It is a sea of fear. On board a ship, two things are most necessary: a captain and some radar or equipment to guide the ship away from rocks and shoals. Without these, what hope is there of saving the ship? It can never be free from dangers, and if one does not realize this today, then tomorrow or the next day one will see it in dire distress. Baba, or God, the world is trapped in a huge net. Without a captain or radar, there is no way of escaping the net. A Persian saint says that God has placed us on a plank of wood in the middle of the ocean, saying, "Beware, do not allow even your clothes to get wet." How can we possibly avoid getting wet? We will very easily drown unless some help comes along. We have no idea how to save ourselves. In fact, we are not even aware of the danger we are in, being poisoned through and through with illusion. Even those with a little consciousness cannot help themselves, excuse me. Then is there any hope in life? There is the need of someone to assist the distressed souls, to help them out and guide them onward. A boatman, even an oar, but they should reach the shore safely somehow. When the true masters come into the world, they see the souls in these dire straits, and their prayer is, "O Lord, they are very badly trapped. Is there any way to release them?" If for a brief moment a man turns his attention from illusion and recognizes his condition, then in the suffering, torment, and agony of heart he cries out, "O God, take me out of here." Such a sincere and heartfelt cry reaches the Lord, but the appeal should be true. We should realize where we stand, soul that we are, living like a log of wood, helpless and floundering into further danger at every step. With this realization, the prayer goes forth from the depths of the heart without any effort, and then God makes it possible to meet that saving lifeline, the guru, the boatman, who will guide the poor soul out of the torment. Brothers, can you yourselves take your ship to the shore? How will you swim across this vast worldly ocean? When there is a storm at sea, the entire responsibility of the safety of the ship, passengers, and cargo lies with the captain. Even at the point of sinking, each passenger is given a life belt, and the captain will do his best to save each and every one. Similarly, in this ship of the physical form, some competent master is desired to sit therein, to guide us and help us, and to be with us constantly. He is a great knower of the world with its snares and pitfalls, and is competent to pilot any number of souls across in safety. Through God's physical law, oxygen assists the fire to burn, and this same law of supply and demand has been at work throughout nature ever since the world began. So when you meet a guru, he showers his mercy and blessing upon you. Observe how the child forming in the mother's womb has all its needs supplied by nature. Even the milk is ready and waiting for its arrival. Those who are born in the future will enjoy the same attentive service. So even the tiniest awakening and earnest desire to escape from this intolerable condition in the world will bring help from the Lord Himself. There is an anecdote about Hazrat Junaid Sahib, who was a perfect master. He was riding his mare one day when she suddenly refused to continue in the direction he was leading her. So he thought, "Well, this is all God's land. I will allow her to go where she wills." And he gave the mare its head. She galloped like the wind and after a while stopped in a valley beside a hill. The saint dismounted, musing that he would see what was God's will. A man was sitting nearby, so he asked him, "Who are you?" The man replied, "I am sitting here in this lonely place out of disappointment and helplessness, for I have searched everywhere for a true master to give me a connection with God, but I could not find one, and I decided that I would go to the wilderness where no man could find me and leave my fate in the hands of nature." Hazrat Junaid Sahib smiled and graciously put the man on the true path. When he was leaving, he gave his new disciple his address, saying, "Whenever you feel the need, you may come to me." The disciple replied, "Why? When I was in need, you came, and whatever power brought you here will bring you again." God sees and knows everything, including which child is truly yearning for Him. The true cry for help comes from the heart, not from the tongue. The loud cries from the tongue do not reach the Lord. The arrow which is drawn back to the chest will reach the target when it is released, but that which is drawn limply will not go very far. He who has given salvation to millions will bring us to the feet of the Guru. Who places this tiny boat of ours on the mighty ship of Nam? On very large ships, many tons of wood, iron or stone can be carried without any danger of the ship sinking. So the Guru puts you on a spiritually unsinkable ship, and he himself is the pilot. God has many names, for he is known by those names which the rishis, munis, and masters gave. Some called him Brahm, some called him Allah, some God, and numerous other names. The God-realized people gave these names to help humanity to remember God. They are words denoting the Lord by which the remembrance of Him draws us closer. But they do not connect us to Him. They are but names denoting the one power. Water, for instance, is known by various words, as Jal, Nir, Agua, Ab, etc., according to the different languages. But they are merely words. They are not the element itself. We can quench our thirst when we come in contact with that element which the word denotes. Repetition of words will not give us realization, but it is necessary to help our Simran in prayer, for we have been doing the world Simran and have become the very image of the world. Doing the Lord Simran will help us to forget the world and remember the Lord. The sweet remembrance of God can cut off the remembrance of the world. But words alone are only a help. They are not a contact. Iron can only be cut by iron or something that is stronger. The word Ram comes from Rama, which means that which is permeating in all. So the word Ram and Ram himself are different. One is a word, the other is the Lord himself, that power which is vibrating everywhere. So the master puts the seeker on the ship of the true Nam, that is above all senses. It is not an outer subject. One must withdraw, invert, and rise above the senses where one receives the divine link with God, a power which has many different phases of work. What are the waves which oscillate in the ocean of mind? This happens because the senses are boiling over. Through the eyes, 83% of all impressions enter our being, and 14% enter through the ears. The remaining 3% enter through other sense organs. These impressions through the senses are so severe that they are perpetually at boiling rate. So our first lesson is to learn how to control the senses. When the senses are in control, only then will the mind be tranquil. When the mind is stilled, the intellect also becomes still, and the soul can have connection with the oversoul. If you make 3 holes in a container, fill the container with muddy water, and then force air through the 3 holes, you will see that the water will churn and bubble. But if you put a little alum in that water, it will become crystal clear and still. So the alum of Nam will cut through the dirt of birth upon birth. In the Japji Sahib, Guru Nanak says, when the hands, feet, and body are besmeared, they are washed clean with water. When the clothes get dirty and polluted, they are cleansed with soap. When one's mind gets defiled with sin, it can be purified only by communion with Nam. He also says, Nam has created Nand and Brahmand. Also, the whole world was created by Nam, but without the Satguru there is no connection. Nam is the power by which the whole of creation came into being, and that power's name is Nam. Those who became absorbed in Nam returned home rejoicing. O Nanak, their faces were radiant with freedom. Through these radiant souls, others gain freedom also. So there is a vast difference between merely repeating the names of God and actually getting connected to the God power. By repeating the Nam, millions of suns will shine forth, but this does not happen by merely repeating his name. In that Nam, which is the God power, there is music vibrating also. So contact with Nam is proven by the experience of these 2 aspects of the God power, light and sound. And if the soul rides on that Nam, where will it be taken? Back to its own source, the soul's source and the source of Nam. Understand that God himself is nameless. Nam is that divine link in each and every being. The 9 hidden treasures of Amrit are the name of the Lord. In this body does it reside. And the giver of these 9 hidden treasures is the Lord himself, residing in the same form, the human body. When he makes inversion possible, the restless waves of mind are stilled and all is peace and calmness. Why does the mind run around in outer things? Because it enjoys the taste of them. These enjoyments are mostly experienced through attractive sights and sounds, beauty, music, singing, etc. Nam also has these attributes, beautiful sights and beautiful sounds. There is world upon world of beauty inside, of the very highest expression. The higher the plane, the more beauty there is, Suksham, Karan, and beyond. The sound becomes more and more melodious. Seeing and hearing all this, the mind becomes attached to the higher expressions of life and ceases to desire the lower pursuits. When that taste comes, this taste is not to one's liking. So, first stop the outer waves, and you will get the inner taste of Nam, through which the mind will be stilled and the incessantly discriminating intellect will also be stilled. Out of this perfect stillness, the knowledge of self is revealed. When knowledge of the self is gained, then the subject of the over-self, what and who he is taken up. One Muslim fakir says, "Close the eyes, ears, and mouth. If you thereby do not realize what God is, then you may laugh." In the Gurbani, it is written, "He who controls the 10 senses, 5 outer and 5 inner, in his soul is the true light." The 10 senses are the 5 organs of enjoyment, eyes, ears, etc., and 5 of knowledge through them. Whosoever controls them, so will the light shine forth in him. Close off the outgoing faculties, withdraw inwardly to the still point at the seat of the soul, and you will see the light of God. Because your attention is outgoing, always running away in outer expressions, you cannot see the light within. Kabir Sahib says, "She who has forgotten herself in the 9 outlets will never realize the priceless treasure." These 9 outlets are those of the physical form: 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, genital organ, and rectum. After suffering so much misery in the world, one begins to seek some safety and refuge. And when this true call comes out of the depths of the heart, God comes to the rescue. Guru Mukh gives salvation to millions through the one and only Nam. Millions have been saved, which for him is a simple matter, but when it happens to us, it is a magnificent event in our lives. Nam has many names, although it is the one power: Nad, creator of 14 regions, Udgit, Akashvani, and various others, but the masters have called it Nam or Shabd. The Muslim fakirs have called it Kalma, and they also say that through Kalma were the 14 regions created. The Christians call it the Word. Zoroaster named it Sreosha. But all these names denote the same power which is the truth, and the Sat Guni is that personality in whom truth is personified. He has a physical form, but he has become the mouthpiece of the Lord. Nam is the truth eternal, and the world is an untruth changing. At present, we cannot see that Nam unless we get a connection with it, but we can see the Sat Guru, who lives as we do in the world, but who is Word made flesh, and who shows his sympathy and great mercy, and prepares us for emancipation from the worldly life. So take your place in the Sat Guru's ship, the ship which is made of that which the Sat Guru has made, the ship which can take us across the treacherous ocean of life. Brahm speaks in the shadow of the human form, without which, how could he speak? There is God, and there is God manifested in the physical form, which are 2 things, but which are the same. That which is God manifested in man is the Satguru at whose feet we may sit and receive the priceless connection with the Holy Nam. It will take us across the ocean of life, drag us back to the source, and is the only power able to do so. Something like a powerful motor vessel, it is strong enough to ride any strength of wave which looms in the path. Those who have entered the Satguru's ship have such a connection that can never sink in this world. There is no need of air, water, or fire to drive this ship. No physical or other fuel is necessary to drive this ship. It is its own power, driven automatically. Now don't start wondering what kind of ship it is, what shape or model. This is merely a way to describe the Nam power and its functions. The Satguru, who is Nam personified, does have a physical form, but at the same time he himself is above it. He is not the body. He has a body. Outer ships run on coal, wood, oil, and sometimes electricity. Electricity is the lowest expression of Nam power. Soul is the highest. Then prana, or vital airs. Then electricity. They are all actually lower degrees of the expression of Nam. The whole world runs on the same power, but the soul can be connected directly to it and can return to the source. Though God is nameless, yet the soul can return to him by contact with Nam or Shabd, by rising up above the senses, above the six centers, and being dragged on and beyond to the source of all life, which is God. Swamiji Maharaj says, without the Shabd there is no way, no release from this earthen vessel. Imprisoned in the body, caught in the net of illusion, he says that only the Shabd can take us above all this. There are two kinds of Shabd, outer and inner. The former keeps us more firmly imprisoned in the world by singing holy songs and playing sacred music, etc. The inner Shabd is gained through the Guru. The yogi, after transcending the lower centers, comes up to the Agya Chakra and there connects the Anhad Shabd, and there contacts the Anhad Shabd, or perpetual sound, and then goes beyond. Beyond this are other stages, Sar Shabd, Sat Shabd, and so on. We, as the image of the body, cannot rise above by our own efforts, but when the Guru gives a special sitting, he brings the soul above the senses and directly connects it to the Shabd power, which is experienced in the two aspects of light and sound. From that moment on, the student is sustained by that Nam, or master power. Wherever that true Nam is, that will take you across the ocean of life. What is the truth? O Nanak, consider a true man as the truth. A person who is true has become the truth itself. His name is the true name. Any soul who comes in contact with him will cross the ocean of life safely. Hafiz Sahib says, no one knows where my beloved's abode is, but yes, the sound of the bell reaches us from there. We should catch hold of that and start our auspicious journey. The attention or soul has become one with the physical form, but the Guru separates it, that the God into expression power may be experienced. In the Ramayana, Tulsi Das has highly praised the Nam. He says, the Nam is beyond all my praise. Even Ram cannot sing its praises. Even Lord Rama cannot praise the Nam, for its attributes cannot be described in words. But it is also said, for ages have you wrangled in philosophy. but whatever was said, yet he remained that which he is. Rishis and saints who have come have said that God is this, God is that, but the subject has never been completed. Those who praised him got tired, and their song remained unfinished. Beyond all explanation and description, Nam, though in each being, must be experienced by rising above the senses which, in their perpetual oscillation, are sinking us further and further into illusory oblivion. It is a man problem. There is no question of caste, creed, or color. We all have the same melody, that of a drowning man. Those who succeeded in crossing this ocean all did so through one method only. This law has not changed so far, nor will it change in the future, for it existed before creation began. And I will close with a short prayer from the book prayer. Satguru, I have come to thy feet. Give me the bliss of Nam for divine honor and free me from all anxieties. I cannot think of any other place of rest. And as a last resort, I am at thy door. Whether I deserve it or not, save me as thou wilt, for merit I have none. Thou art ever forgiving, ever kind, and sustaineth all. Nanak hath taken his refuge with the saints. Kindly protect him this time. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Christine, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 81 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.